how good he has been to us. He's been better than good. He's been wonderful. He's been kind. He's been love. He's been peace. He's been omnipotent. He's been all-seeing, all-knowing, almighty. And I'm just so grateful to him. I'm grateful to all of you, all those of you over in the Zoom. Amen. Y'all just continue to fill that Zoom up. I appreciate that. Amen. Because if Facebook gets to a point sometimes that they have a, you know, they get a little attitude, amen, and they'll just cut our stuff off, and that's okay, because what we know what the church is, amen, that we do Facebook and all these other things, what, to compel them to come, to let them know that we are here, that when they're hurting and when they need help and when they find themselves in the time of trouble, that there are people who are living the standard, there are people who have not sold out, there are people that's holding the bloodstained banner, there are people who know that God is God and that he is not, you know, that he's not mocked, that whatever man soweth, that what shall he also reap? There is a group of people who's holding the blood-stained banner that's proclaiming that I know this thing is not free, that salvation is free, but to keep it, that I must fight daily to be able to keep my salvation, that I must fight daily to be able to go forth, that I must continue this fight, that I must continue this walk, I must continue this talk, that I must go through and I must endure some things. And I'm grateful for those blood-stained, washed people. Amen. There on our Zoom, amen. And if you would like to join that group, you can anytime, please just go to our church website. You see the website below, safehousechurchgso.com. You can click on the live Zoom cast and somebody will let you in, amen. Just in case Facebook decide they want to cut us off the air or do whatever they want to do, amen. Because sometimes that does happen from time to time. But nonetheless, God is good. He's good. He's good. The weather's starting to change a little bit. It's starting to break a little bit. And I know you all are grateful for that, amen. I am grateful. I mean, I don't mind the cold weather because I know it's necessary, but I don't always indeed like it. I don't always want to have it, amen. But I am grateful to God that he is doing what he's doing in our lives. And I'm just so grateful to hear from many of you, reached out to some of you, that God is doing some things. We've been in prayer and we've been praying. And as we've been praying, God has been showing us some different things and some different directions that we're moving in, that we're starting to spread our tentacles a little bit more and do some things that we are all out. We're looking for a new building, amen, looking for some place to go and worship, amen. We worship here, of course, but you know, we want a physical location, amen, but we don't want to step before God. We want to be patient, and you know that God has the right place for us, because I'm believing God there's a church out there that we can afford, amen, or there's a church that somebody gonna put the key in our hand, you know what I mean, that, you know, not that, you know, you know, the Bible said that he would give you houses and things that, I mean, he would give you farm. I can't remember how the scripture goes, but that he would give you things that you didn't even work for. Amen. Because those are the blessings of God. Amen. And those who are working diligently towards what he's called us to do and the purpose in which he's called us to do that. Amen. Not that we're looking for a free ride. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We earn and we do what we, but if God has it for us, then what? Then we want to be able to take that and magnify it and do what it is that he's called us to do. So I ask that you all members continue to look, keep your eye out. You see a vacant building or a vacant church or whatever the case may be. Let us know. Amen. You know, and we go and explore. You know, as I was telling Brother Jordan, you know, just on last night, we was talking about it. We talked about it earlier this week, and was saying that, you know, at this point, you know, it's one of those things, you know when you know. Amen. You know when you know. And I know in my spirit when I know. Amen. I think about it a lot of times when God just gives you a peace. Amen. I remember when we moved into this home, you know, we had looked at many homes and I had said no many times, but it was something that when I got here and God quickened my spirit and brought back a word of prophecy that was given to me many years ago, said, this is the home. Amen. And we moved in here. Amen. And we've been pretty happy with it ever since. Amen. There are other times, you know, I tell people this story all the time and they don't believe me, but I know, I think, say, by the second time I went on a date with my wife that I was going to marry her. You know, I dated many young ladies before that. I went out and all kinds of things, but by the second date, I pretty much knew the first time, but that second was sure that she was going to be my wife. At that point, it was just being patient. Amen. She didn't know that, but at that time, her just being patient, you know, until I got some things together that I felt that I was ready to be able to move forward, but I already knew what was in plan. Do you not know that God already has and knows what he has planned for us? In Jeremiah 29, and I think 11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, and they're to prosper you and to give you what? Good success. Amen. So that what? He already knows what he wants to have for us, but can we be patient and to wait to the timing? See, it was like when I wanted to marry my wife, amen, Felicia, I already knew that I wanted to marry her, but see, I didn't have any money. Oh, come on, somebody. And when I married her, I still didn't have a whole lot, but I had a little, I had more than what I wanted to in the beginning. So it wasn't that I didn't want to, but I had to wait to what? Things lined up and things make sense for us to be able to move and do that thing. So sometimes, brothers and sisters, God works with us the same way. You know, sometimes we can be impatient and we can get ahead of God and we start doing things ourselves. Now, what if she would have went out there and bought her own ring and said, Peter, marry me? I tell you right now, unequivocally, we wouldn't be married, amen, because I wouldn't have did it. So, you know, some things, you know, when they for you, we cannot force feed God. That God has a time and he has a way, he has a purpose, and he has these things lined up for you and I. And all we got to do is what? Trust that he has them lined up. This is where our faith comes in. I don't know about you all, but I believe at the Safe House, our faith is at an all-time high level, amen, because we've been going through some things in these last couple of seasons and, you know, with the COVID, and it seemed like it won't be long, but it seemed like we're going to be back home again, amen, because that thing is starting to rage again. I just looked this morning in China, and they talk about the whole city of, I mean, all of China is almost locked down again. So it's what? It's making its comeback. It's here it come again. Amen. And again, and I know we as Americans, you know, we are very defiant. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to say what we want to say. We're going to move how we want to move. And we're going to go in there and we're going to do what we do. That's what Americans do. I don't even argue with the point anymore. You know, I don't expect anything less than them to do that. Amen. But nonetheless, God is good. I'm going to give honor to First Lady Felicia Ely. Just so grateful for having her as part of our life and a part of the team here at the Safe House Church. Amen. I want to give honor to all our members there in the chat. Amen. All the way from Texas, you know, Sister Sherelle and Sister Harden and Sister Bullock out there. Who else I see? Sister Haven in South Carolina, Sister Hicks and Sister Taylor and the Jordans and the Williams family out in Charlotte and Sister Tori and Sister Ely out in Henderson. I mean, we just have people from all over the place. I just tell folks, we are, you know, all over the place, and God has just opened up doors even in this season that God's spirit is not limited to just being in contact, even though we want to be in contact, but what that his spirit is not limited to us just being here, amen. And we're going to tell you the truth. I know I don't always tell you things that you want to hear, but I'm telling you things that I know you need to hear because we love you. We're telling you things to keep you out of the pits of hell. We're telling you things that help you to prosper and to go forward as well. Do I have all the answers? Absolutely not. Do I know everything? Absolutely not. That I'm continually learning and I'm in the process of learning each and every day. That the Bible is continually being unfolded and revealed to me every single day. Amen. And it should be continually unfolded and revealed to you every single day. I don't know, we're having some focus issues this morning. I don't know if it's because I got all this black today that is having some, the camera having trouble focusing on me. Oh, I know. I don't have the other light on. Excuse me. Man, I think that might help. Oh, yeah. That's it. Sorry, I didn't turn my main light on. I got all these lights on and didn't have that light on. Hopefully that's going to help that camera focus a little bit better. All right, but all these things, and nonetheless, that God is good, and I'm grateful to all of those who continually support the Safe House Church and their mission to go forward. Amen, amen. I'm not going to belabor the point with you, but I do believe that there is a word from the Lord on today. I believe that this is a powerful word. I believe if you take this, this will be life-changing. I believe that it will address your current situation. I believe that this word is so on time that it will address exactly where you are and what you're going through and where you find yourself on today. So I'm going to go right into this word. For those who are first time visitors of the Safe House, good morning, and we're grateful that you're here at the Safe House with us. We're just so grateful that you have chosen to be here with us. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here, and for that we're grateful. We work out three principles here at the Safe House Church that we believe that God has called us to: discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship in that we're going to teach you God's word. We're going to walk with you in God's word. And then we're going to empower you to use your gifts and your anointing. God has gifted you and he's giving all of us gifts and talents and anointings to use. And therefore, what we're going to work with you and push you to go out and what use those that God has given you. And then finally, then we work in what accountability, that what we must be accountable for everything we do. We must be accountable for our actions. We must be accountable for where we go and what we do and what we say and how we move. Amen. And we must be accountable in that space. So with that, I want to let you know, good morning and welcome. And I think I saw that camera issue. This thing was focusing on this other mic instead of me. All right. So let's go forth in the word on today. So wanted to go today to Isaiah. I'm going to turn to the book of Isaiah. Would you go to the book of Isaiah with me? Isaiah, the 7th chapter, and we're going to go verses 1 through 9. Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 9. We want to go to Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Let me get this on the screen for you all. Okay, there we go. Isaiah, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And now we'll switch over to our Bible. All right. And it says this. Now, y'all help me, because these king's names are doozy. Okay. And it says this. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the king of the son of Ramhalah, king of Israel, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. Somebody say, could not prevail. All right, and it says this, and it says, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is in a confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of the people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Meaning that they were what? Shaken. That they were all shaken because of what was going before them, what was transpiring. Now watch this, let's keep going. Verse 3, and it says, then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and sure Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool and the highway of the fullest field. Hear what he's sending the prophet Isaiah and his son to go meet with what? The king of Israel at the time. Okay? I mean, not Israel, Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem, I think it is. Let me make sure. Yeah, to Jerusalem, the king of Jerusalem. All right? Now watch this. So he's telling them to go meet them. All right? Then he goes on in 4 and says, and said unto them, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, evil counsel here, what do you mean? That what? They have plotted a plan against him. How many of you know sometimes you're just doing what you're doing, that people are just plotting against you just because? You don't have to be doing anything. You can just be doing God's will. You can just be doing your way, doing what he's called you to do and it's going on, but somebody just don't like you. Somebody just got a beef with you. Somebody got something. It's the evil that's in their hearts. Watch this. And they took evil counsel against him, saying, let us go up against Judah. Going up against the word of God. Uh-huh. And vex it. Give it a hard time. Make it terrible for them. And let us make a breach therein for us. Mm-hmm. Therein for us. And set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabel. All right, so what did he say? Let's go ahead, let's divide this kingdom. And when we go ahead, we're going to divide this kingdom. When we get done dividing this kingdom, what we're going to do is then we're going to go in there and we're going to place who we want to be king. We're going to place who we want to be boss. We're going to place who we want to be the head. We're going to place who we want to be in there. Oh, come on, somebody. Did you see that? Watch. This is speaking to somebody today. And he says this. But Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah has taken evil counsel against thee, saying, oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. Then somebody go up. Then he says this. Thus said the Lord God, it shall not what? Stand. Neither shall it come to pass. You should be shouting right there. Stand, nor will it what? Come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, that it be not a people, that they will be destroyed, that it will be gone, the country will be done. So don't sweat it. Stand still. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is Ramallah's sons. If ye will not believe, surely ye should not be established. If you would not believe, surely you would not be established. I want to switch over to the NIV version on this. And I want to read one or two pieces of this again for you, and just to bring this home. Mm-hmm. So let's key in on verse 4. And it says this: "And say unto him, take heed," this is New International Version, "and be quiet." Shut your mouth. You ain't got to do anything. Just hold out right here. How many know sometimes it's hard for some of us to shut our mouth? I included. I have something to say about everything. But God is telling him, he sent instruction through the prophet. Shut up. You're talking too much. Be quiet. And watch this. Fear not. It's nothing to be scared of. Be fainted hearted. Neither what? Be fainted hearted for the two tails of these smoking fire bands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Ramallah. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. One other version I have, it reads of this, the same verse, 4:17 says, say unto him, be careful. Keep calm. And don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smothering stubs of firewood. Because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Abraham and of the son of Ramallah. Watch this. Last key verse, he says this. And 7, he says, and yet, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. It will not take place. It will not happen. As we switch back to the camera here, to the other camera here, I want to use for our subject today, if I will, for a few moments, smoke, but no fire. Smoke, but no fire. Can you type that in the chat? Smoke, but no fire. Smoke, but no fire. You know, we're in this day and time that people use, you know, slang. We use all kinds of slang, ebonics, and all kinds of stuff that we come up with. And one of the things that I hear said in the streets right often, especially some of the kids, they would tell people, you know, if they were upset or something was anticipating of a fight or some kind of conflict coming up, they would often tell some people, they don't want this smoke. And it's a very familiar thing that's being said. There's things that are being said out there that's been put out there. And it was like, no, the smoke is a bad thing. That smoke is going to bring some pain. The smoke is going to bring some fire. And what I'm here to tell you today is we're going to talk a little bit about this smoke. Because smoke doesn't mean that there is a fire. I know we often, people say, where there's smoke, there's a fire. Well, sometimes when there's smoke, there's the end of a fire. It's a smothering flame. It's a flame that's gone out. There's something that's no longer living. There's nothing. There's something that no longer has a firm. There's something that does not have power. There's something that does not matter anymore. There's something that cannot go forward. Sometimes there is smoke, but no fire. Oftentimes we find ourselves here that people say, oh, you don't want me to bring all this smoke. If you're just bringing smoke, that means that you're just selling wolf tickets. Meaning that you're saying a lot, but you ain't doing a lot. Because I remember as a kid, those who were the best fighters, those who really got down in the fight, didn't do a lot of talking. They just got to swinging. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, y'all ain't been saved all my life. Y'all ain't been saved all your life. Y'all know that when people who really was about that thing, they didn't give any warning shot. They just walked up and they hit somebody with a two-piece, blop, blop, blop. Or they hit somebody with a cross elbow. There was not a lot of talking going on. There was not a lot of yap, 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 and yapping going on. They just brought it. No warning, no indication. It was just bloop, 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 bloop. But those who did a lot of talking, Those who were running around, those who were setting stuff up, those who were looking to split stuff up, those who were building stuff up, there was a lot of smoke, but no fire. And what we find here on today, that in Isaiah, and I was reading this story, and I was like, I had never read this story before. Because this is leading up to what the prophet Isaiah is going to be able to say, that what, well, that Emmanuel is going to be, that Jesus is coming, and his name should be what, named Emmanuel, and that he was going to bring his people out, and he was going to save his people. And that's leading up to this. But before this, we had this little part of when Jerusalem was under attack. How many of you sometimes you feel like you've been under attack? And Jerusalem was just doing their own thing. But people wanted what Jerusalem had. They couldn't be who Jerusalem was. So therefore, they felt that it was up enough for them that, let me go in there and take what you have. Or let me destroy what you have, because if you got it and I don't have it, then I'd rather you not have it and nobody has it. So let me pull you down. Let me destroy you. Let me take this away from you. Let me put this, you know, let me pull this down, because you are on fire and I am smoking. And since I'm smoking and you on fire, I must find some way to quench your fire. And this is what they were trying to do. The Bible says what? They sat there and they devised a plan. And the plan was what? To go in and to divide the kingdom. This is why I keep speaking to you all. Y'all, we have to work in unity. Why? Because the plan is to devise the kingdom, that when we get alone, when you get in division, that's when what? You get ambushed. That's why I do believe, I know we need to get back together. I'm praying that we get back together. I'm praying that we can find some way. Why? Because when we're separated, that's when we can be vulnerable. This is why we call prayer. This is why we have Bible class in the week. Not just to get on your nerves, but to keep you in it. To keep you safe. There's safety in numbers. There's safety in gathering. There's safety when we all together. Are y'all with me this morning? So here, what, they come in and they are devising a plan. They got his kingdom and they got their kingdom. And together they come in, what, to attack him and divide his kingdom. And what he said, now word has been out. So now the king of Jerusalem is scared. And rightfully so. Some of us have been scared. And I get it. I understand it. I've been scared too. I'm not sure sometimes how some of these things are going to work out. I'm not sure how this, I speak faith and I walk in faith and I go in there, but sometimes I don't know either. So I don't want you to think, oh, he has all the answers. No, 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 because I'm walking by faith too and not by sight. I'm walking in this thing day by day. We're all walking in this thing day by day. But what, that if we are to stand firm and hold still in our faith, that we'll see the smoke, but realize that there is no fire. Because what the Bible tells us here is that, well, as they come together, he sends the prophet Isaiah. Him and his son goes to the king. They have direct connection with the king. They can speak directly to the king. And he gives the king, we know Isaiah is known as the eagle-eyed prophet. He's known as the eagle-eyed prophet. Why? Because his prophecies are accurate. What he says does come to pass. There are a lot of people who prophesy, but everybody ain't accurate. As they say, even a broke clock is right two times a day. Right? So, but he was very accurate. So here he is. He's telling him that what he's thinking about, what he's fearing about, is not going to come to pass. So relax. Be calm. If my word is for the God's people today, let's relax. Be calm. He's got us. He's got us. He said, if you'll do this, then it'll be established. But if you won't, it will not be established. He honors our faith. So he goes to the king. He tells the king to do what? He says, hey, this is what I need from you. I need you to relax, because you're the king. And if they see the king in distress, everybody else is going to be in distress. Why? Because we know the king has protection. The king has his own army. The king has the best of best. So if the king is shook, the one who has all the protection, the one who has all the goods, the one who has all the power, if he is shaken, then what? Everybody else will be shaken. Because what? It flows from the head. This is why it's important that you all, and I'm not just saying this to be saying this, that you all pray for me. Because if I'm shaken, I know you're going to be shaken. And that's the divine order. If your husband is shaken, why are you going to be shaken? Mm-hmm. Mother, if you are shaking, the children are going to be shaking. It's divine order. Because they what? They looking up to you. The children looking up to the mother. The mother's looking to the father. And the father's looking to God. So therefore, he told them, the king, don't be shaken. Because your subject's going to be looking at. In fact, just know this, that you're standing in between two smoldering embers. So I looked up, I looked up, what does it mean to be smoldering? And I found it very interesting. To smolder means to smoke without fire. It means to burn without fire. See, when you have fire, the Bible talks about when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, that what we should have what power, and that power comes with the Holy Ghost fire. That we find in Matthew 33 and 11, that he talks about that fire, that all-consuming fire, that what when we get the Holy Ghost, we just don't need to be smoked. See, when I see people just shouting around the church, and I get that, and I'm good with that, but what is your life like? So is that just smoke? Do you see what I'm saying? It's another thing, you run around the church and you this and you that and you being busybody, you all this stuff and that, but you don't support in tithes and offering. Is that fire or is that smoke? Yeah, I'm bringing, as they say, not the smoke, I'm bringing the fire today. Because I want to see you on fire. I don't want you looking like a form of godliness, yet denying the power thereof. Meaning that what you look like you're being holy, you're saying all the right things, but you can't keep your dress down. Or you can't keep your zipper up. Or you can't consistently do what it is that you know you're supposed to do. Some of you have been saved for years. Some of you looking to be saved. And we have room for you. That safe house is a safe place. Because I'm going to love you and I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I'm trying to go to heaven too. You're not looking at a preacher who don't live what he's talking about. I go through everything I'm telling you about. Check my life. Check my record. Check my testimony. I live what I preach. And therefore, I'm telling you today. That's why I can tell you with the passion and the vigor. This is not just a show. But this is lived experience. And continually lived experience. I live this right now. I'm going through this right now. There's kings that want my throat. There are kings out there who want your throat. But you serve the King of Kings. And he's told you, relax. You serve the Lord of Lords. He's telling you to relax. And more importantly, he said what? Be quiet. You're talking too much. Oh, yeah, that was a message for me. Because, sometimes you get upset. You feel like you have to vent. And you have to say things. But what we're finding is as we control our tongues, as we control what comes out of our mouth, and we place it on God, say, God, you see the hell I'm going through. Lord, you see what they're doing. You see how they being divisive. Lord, you see how they coming after this. You see how they making up stuff and all kinds of things. But Lord, you told me to stand still. And that in time, that this was all going to go away and you were going to be what? Left standing. So I'm here to remind you today that you are what? To continue to stand. For those of you all who are taking notes, let me give you 5 quick points real quick and I'm going to get out of here real quickly. And it says, number one, watch those with the form of godliness. Everybody's a Christian now. Everybody's spiritual. Smoke, but no fire. Smoke, but no fire. Everybody, oh, well, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. What does that mean? There are all kinds of spirits out here. Spirits of damnation and divination and all kinds of stuff. You need to connect. A form of godliness. I'm just going to make it. I'm just going to do enough to get by. No, God didn't call us to do enough to get by. He called us to be a peculiar people. That we are what? To stand out. And I know this is hard stuff. Now, by no means am I saying this is easy. But he's called you to stand out. He's called me to stand out. And because we're standing, people see that. They see the hits you're taking. They see the hell that you're going through. They see you struggling with children. They see you struggling with family. They see you struggling with marriages. They see you struggling with financial. They see you going through some things. And yet they don't understand why you ain't just say the hell with all of it. because you serve a king. They said, when I've done all I can do to stand, you know what? I just keep standing. When I've done all I can do, I keep standing. And then at that point, they realize that there's more with you than it is with them. That there's something with you. There's more power with you. There's something that's different about you. Why? Because anybody else would have thrown in the towel. Anybody else would have given up. Anybody else would have said, I'm done. Anybody else would have walked away. Anybody else would have said, I have nothing else to do with this. Let me go to hell and enjoy the trip. That's what anybody else would have said. But not you, not you, because you're not built that way. Because you're called to stand out. And therefore, well, he put a little extra in your feet. So the form of godliness. Number two, they don't have fire. See, fire consumes. See, this is why many people can't be around you. This is why you can't connect with every couple. Me and my wife used to have this thing. Like, why can't we just connect with other couples? Why? Because sometimes the flame, it burns up folk. Not saying that we hold it in down. No, because I have the flame in me to continue to burn stuff up in me. And why it's burning stuff up in me, you might get burnt too if you hang around long enough. That's how that thing works. So that flame is in me, burning me. Why? Because there's some inconsistency still in Peter's life. There's some things that come out of his mouth that shouldn't come out of his mouth. There's some things that I think about I shouldn't think about. Oh, can I be transparent? I tell y'all, I live what I preach. I'm not one of those. I have shortcomings. I have failures. I've done some dumb stuff. And I'm still here to say, you know, God is able. And I know you've done some dumb stuff. Some of you living in sin right now. You know it. I ain't got to tell you. You know you're supposed to be there. But I'm asking, what are you going to do? Are you going to be smoke or are you going to bring the fire? There's a lot of smoke, but no fire. So then, three. Shaken but not uprooted. Remember, he goes through and he tells them, he says, hey, you know, your people are shaking like a tree, man. They are shaking, 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 shaking. But watch this. The trees shake. Y'all know good windstorm come through, these trees will shake and they'll bow and they'll move. And we live here in the Carolinas. In the Carolinas, we are full of these pine trees, what they call southern pines, which is some real soft wood. And you get a little water on them and they freeze up a little bit and them things will bow down and they'll just snap. We see it all the time. We see it all the time when we get bad weather. If the wind blows hard enough, those pine trees will start to bow and they'll snap. You'll hear them cracking like toothpicks. But see, it's something about that oak tree though. Because see, I look at my backyard right now, and if I looked out my window there, we got a whole group of pines out there that were planted because they must have came in some years ago and cut down some pines. Because clearly they look like they were just planted there. They weren't just brought there. I mean, they just didn't come naturally. And all these pines were planted, they're growing up and they're growing up fast. The couple of years that we've been here, I've seen them pines grow from almost like saplings to now almost, you know, 8, 9, 10 foot trees. Yet at the same time, my wife and I, there's an oak tree that we found in our backyard. And when our builder was here building, we asked and we begged them, say, look, please do not uproot this tree. It was a tree that naturally grew there and it was right there in that form. We was like, we want to leave that tree. We want that tree to grow. Because at that point in time, that tree would what? That tree would grow up and it would provide shade to our house. Right now, we don't have any shade trees. But watch this. I look at that tree. I looked at that tree this week as I cut my lawn. That tree is now maybe 7 feet tall. When we first came, that tree might have been 3 feet tall. If I would have planted a pine sapling right beside it, that pine tree would already be probably 10 feet tall. What are you saying, Pastor? Just because it grows fast don't mean it's going to be here a long time. See, some of us get confused. We get speed confused with knowledge. Just because somebody's up and they're going and they're doing this, they're doing that, and that don't mean they know what they're doing. Nor do it mean that they're established to be here for a long time. Because I already told you, that tree going to get up, it'll get a little wet because it has no backbone. Mm-hmm. It has no stability on it. So what happens? That tree is going to what? It's going to get that weight and it's going to bow over. And what it's going to do? It's going to snap. And it grew so fast, but what did it do? It didn't get any strength in the trunk. I tell you right now, I can go out here and take that little oak tree and bend it over to the ground. It's not going to snap. If anything, it might whip me. In fact, I probably can't even bend it. And you know what the thing about this oak? That tree might take another 20 years to get to the point that I want it to be. But when it gets there, whoo! This is what we keep talking about, patience. God has been teaching me patience in this season. When it gets there, it's going to be established. Woo! What did he say? That when you are established, if you keep believing in faith and you get established, he's there. Safe House, I mean to tell y'all today, we keep believing. It's been a long road, but when we get established, woo! When we get established, I ain't got to worry about the 10, 15, 20 of y'all over there. Because see, I know all of y'all praying because you're still here. I know you're serious about it. Why? Because that's others. You could, if you just wanted to be in a church service, in a building, something, you could have went today. But you're still here. So God is doing something. He's establishing us. He's establishing our roots. So each one of you are a root system. Oh, come on, somebody. And God is digging you deeper before he allows us to go up. Why? Because when we go up, the wind is going to blow. And the trees are going to rock. And it's going to bow forward, and it's going to bow back, and it's going to go to the left, it's going to go to the right. But watch this. It's not going to break. Because we're going to be standing. Why? Because there's some fire in us. I'm not doing this for form or fashion. I'm not doing this to be paid. I've never been paid to preach at this church. Ever. If anything, been more what God has given us to support. But watch this. Seed time and harvest. Where there's little investment, there's little return. Where there's great investment, there's great return. That's Bible. Ask yourself, if you're not getting out of this what you want, how much are you putting in? Are you serving? Are you teaching? Are you working? Or only you just paying your tithes, and we're grateful for that. But God is calling us to more. I know you're like, well, how do I do it? Just like you do anything else that you got to do, you make time to do the things you want to do. I include it. Even if it's a little bit of time, I find time. You know, I was yesterday, went out and did some things with my wife and trying to get some stuff done and some other things we need to get done. And you know what? Y'all know me. I wanted to throw that fishing rod so bad. So I ran down the street and it won't long. I went down to the bottom of the street and I threw that rod in the water. Did not catch a fish, but it wasn't even about catching fish. It was just that I was there. Because it's part of my mental sanctuary. Everybody has a mental sanctuary, a place that you go to just release. And for me, it's just being fishing. I just like throwing the lures out there. And then many times I go, I don't catch a fish at all. There are many times I do. But I find time to do it. For me, it's part of my sanctity. So you find times to do the things that you want to do. All right? So what is he? So this tree, he's asking us, are we going to be this tree? So be the tree that what? You cannot be uprooted. Because when the wind come to blow, they will be unrooted. They will be blown over because they're not about anything. You are about this. They talk in smoke, but they don't have the fire. Because the fire has left them out. That the Bible tells us that what? Their kingdoms were what? It was gone. And here you are, because you see smoke, and you've been taught for so long that where there's smoke, there's fire. So now you believe they got fire because they got smoke. And I'm telling you, they got smoke because they smoldering, meaning they're on their way out. See, there's two sides to every story. And the Bible here says that, what? That they were smoldering. They were on the way out. And here the king is in fear and he's worried. It's like, oh my God, what are they going to do? Here they come. They're up and coming. No, you are up and coming. They worried about you. And because they worried about you, what they're trying to do is put your fire out before you even get started. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me today? He's trying to put our fire out before we even get started. So you wonder why you get discouraged. This is why you get discouraged, because the devil, he knows if you ever get going, he knows if you ever get that business off the ground, he knows if you ever start praying right, if he knows if you ever decide that, you know what, I'm going to not live in sin, I'm going to get my own house, I'm going to get my own situation, I'm going to do right by you, God, to watch some things start to change. But again, that requires faith. He said, if y'all have the faith in me, that this will be established. How much faith do we have, Safe House? You know your individual situations. You know stuff that you got yourself in. You know stuff that you've been believing God for. And God said, yep, I would do it, but you got to stop doing this. But Lord, I don't want to stop. Well, Lord, I don't want to do it. We serve a God who's full of conditions. Those promises are conditional. It says, if you do this, then I will do this. If my people, I will do this. Mm-hmm. If you will humble yourself, I will do this. If you were, you know, you see what I'm saying? God, he has all these promises, but these promises are conditional. It's conditions on you doing what? Your part. Why? Because he does not, what? Tarry sin. So you cannot bring sin into the camp and ask God to bless you. I know some of us, you know, I get prayer requests and stuff all the time. I say, Pastor, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And I want to say so bad is, are you living in sin? Sometimes it's not appropriate. Are you in sin? Because if not, we got to get that straight first. Why? Because the pipe is clogged up. You cannot expect the blessing to come out. Do you not know that sin just clogs up your pipe? That's why it's important. Sin stops the pipe from coming through. It's a clog. So people often ask, so why is God not flowing in my life? Because you got sin in the camp. Examine yourself and ask God. Number four, and I'm about to get out of here. They have a plan. Make no mistake about it. There's a plan to plan your demise. And I know that sounds terrible, but it's true, both spiritually and physically. You think people want to see you do good? See, for a long time, y'all, I ain't gonna say I was naive. But I just chose not to see it. I wanted everybody to like me. I did everything I could. I'm a oldest child. So they said by record, we have a tendency to be people pleasers. And I wanted everybody just to be good. I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be, I don't want not a happy, a sad person around me. In my church, in my work, nothing I do. My children, my home, my wife. I want everybody happy all the time. But sometimes I had to come to the realization, sometimes, Peter, everybody's not going to be happy. In particular with you, because I've called you to do some things. And if you're doing everything I called you to do, that means that more likely they're not going to be happy with you. Because you'll be what? You'll be going against the grain. And see, you know, and I remember one time I was talking to my barber and he was cutting my hair. And what little bit I got left, y'all. And as he was cutting it, he was telling me, you know, we was talking. I was talking about cutting my son's hair. I said, because he's so young, you know, I don't take him all the time. You know, he's been, but it's better for me just to do it because of time and convenience. And he was like, don't ever cut against the grain. He said, don't ever cut against the grain. That'd be the best advice. And I'm like, but when you cut against the grain, sometimes you do what? I can cut it deeper. And that's the point. When you cut against the grain, not only do you go against them, but you cut deep. And some people ain't ready to be seen. Some people ain't ready for that smoke to come. As they say, the smoke. But we don't bring the smoke. We bring fire. Because see, you see that smoke after that fire has come. But you also see that smoke after that fire is left. So some of them, we see smoke, maybe the fire's gone. Maybe they just smoldering. Maybe they just remembering what once was. Once was great, which once was powerful. You know, I think about it in terms of even our country. They come around, let's make America great again. Last time I checked, it was a great country to be in anyway. But if you compare it to the past, some would say, well, what was being great about that anyway? You know, we had, you know, all these other things, of, you know, racism and all these things in our country of, you know, stealing and being rebels and all this kind of stuff. Someone said, question, what is your definition of greatness? And someone say, well, that was the glory days. And what they're doing is they're still living off those glory days. What they're doing is what? It's the smoke. I remember, you know, y'all meet, and I heard somebody say this one time before, and I remember, you know how sometimes you meet some people, and the first thing they know, they remember you, is like, oh, do you remember when we did this, this, and this? They always were in the past because they have nothing new to say to you. Sometimes we're dealing with people who have nothing new to say to us. And because they have nothing new to say to us, all they do is bring back old smoke. There's nothing there. There's no fire there. There's no relationship with us. So therefore, what you, all you can do is go back to the past and bring back what I used to do and what I used to be in and all these things. And yo, those were the glory days and those were good, but those days are smoldering. It's smoke. I want to know, what are you doing now? How are lives being transformed now? How are things changing now? How are you doing now? Why? Because we don't always stay the same. We grow and we transform. So no, make no mistake about it. They do have a plan. And this is why the Bible tells us what? Be quiet. Be calm. Be quiet and be calm. Isaiah 4, it says what? Say to him, be careful. Keep calm and don't be afraid. Be careful, be calm, don't be afraid. The other one said what? Four says, I can't remember the one that said for you what? Be quiet. Last one, and I'm done. Five. Notice that man purposes, but God disposes. Man has purpose, but God disposes. Our purpose is to serve him. If you're in your purpose, know that what? God has a purpose for your life, and he disposes it. He disposes all those things that he don't want for you to do. He uses the oppressor sometimes to oppress the oppressed. That's Bible. He uses them to what? To put us in line, to put us in subjection, to put us in what? And go to why? So that you would be saved. The Bible said that he chastises them who he loved. I think about my children sometimes. Sometimes I have to get after them. It's not because I want to get after them, but what? I want to see them do well. I know what they about to go through. I know some of the people that they may be in front of. I know what they've been called to do. I know, what God has put in them and what God has put in me to speak to them. Therefore, there's certain things that we cannot tolerate. There's certain things we cannot let be said. There's certain behaviors that we cannot let slide. And this is what God does with you and I. There's certain things that he won't tolerate. There's certain things he won't slide. Why? Because he's called you to stand out. And I want to remind you today, and I want you to be encouraged. Be careful. Be quiet. Be calm. And know that God's got us. There's a plan made. There's a plan there. They have one to destroy you. But what did he say? It would not work. As we normally say, he said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Mm-hmm. That these weapons will be formed, but what? They won't work. And I'm just here again to remind you today that whatever it is that's going on in your life on today, there's a plan. They want to see your demise. They don't want to see you do good. They're not your cheerleaders. Why? Because they're on the other side. But notice that God said that in due time and in season, that it's going to work in your favor. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that this has been an extraordinary blessing to you on today. That they what? There's a lot of smoke, but there's no fire because they're what? They are smoldering on their way out. When we pray, let's pray. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done here on this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, there's smoke, Lord, but there's no fire, oh God. Lord, for they're smoldering out, Lord, that they're just, Lord Jesus, just on their way out, Lord, just blowing, Lord, trying to make that last hurrah, Lord Jesus. As you continue to ascend us, oh God, you continue to bring us up, oh God. You continue to send us to the next level, oh God. You continue to anoint us and strengthen us, oh God, and help us, oh God, Lord. And I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we honor you for that, Lord. We praise your name for that, Lord. And we give your name down in the praise, oh God. God. The glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. For we dare not touch that glory, O God, belong to you. In all that ways, we acknowledge you, Lord Jesus. You say that you will direct our path, Lord. And we want to say we thank you for that in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we honor you for that, Lord. And we praise your name for that, Lord. And we give your name the honor and the praise, O God. The glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. For we dare not touch that glory, O God. But in all that ways, we acknowledge you, Lord. And you shall direct our path. Ask that you help us and keep us and strengthen us, oh God. Help us to go forward, Lord Jesus. For we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all on today. Remember, if there, on every single Monday through Friday, that we do have a prayer. Amen. We pray every Monday through Friday. So please go to the website, click on the prayer link. We're there at 6 a.m. We go from 6 a.m. to roughly about 6:30. A.M. on Monday through Friday. We'd love to have you. Now it's time. It's often time in the church. Amen. It's often time. Would you be so kind if you would? We use the cash out. It's now often time in church. We use the cash out. The cash out. That's $ Safe House Church GSO. Again, that's $ Safe House Church GSO. Again, or you can go paypal.me/ministry8. Again, it's paypal.me/ministry8. Or you can do snail mail, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, it's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. God bless you all. Thank you, and we love you. All right, and by way of any announcements that we have here on today, amen, I'm just so grateful to God. I hope that you found this message to be